the book of Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Glad we have the great shepherd today. Let's stand on the reading of the Word of God today. Found the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. We can't turn around and hug and shake, but turn around to say, how you doing this morning? Let's turn around and say hello to everybody. Glad you're at church this morning. Glad you're at church. The Bible said in Joshua 1, verse 1, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, they spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you. I pray, God, for a few moments now you'd use me with the Word of God to be a blessing to the people of God today. I pray for those, Lord, that's in the sound of our voice this morning that don't know Christ. I pray today would be the day that they would have that eternal yes in their heart and their soul and their spirit. I pray for those on our prayer list today. God, would you touch those? Would you help all my preacher friends today as they stand? Help our church, our nation, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask you, amen and amen. I don't mean to be repetitious in preaching, but it does us good to lay a little background of where we are in the book of Joshua. The things to remember, this will be the third sermon I've preached out of the first chapter of Joshua. And we started out preaching that there was a great commotion that had happened with the children of Israel. We are like them. We are a people that God loves, that God has died for, that God has called us out, and He's taken us on a journey. Somebody say amen this morning. I'm glad I'm going on a journey with the Lord. And so now Moses has died. There was a great commotion. Could you imagine being in this camp and this great group of people, and all of a sudden the things that they'd been so accustomed to had died. It had left. And so, but God was faithful. Isn't it amazing the way He's written to us a Bible that we can all look in and see how people made it through rough waters? Matter of fact, the reason He left you a Bible is to not only confirm who He is, but also where you are and who you are. I'm glad we got a Bible today that can relate to where we are in this day and this hour. And our Bible's not out of date this morning. It was written down by men of old, moved by the Spirit of God to help us in this day and this hour. The Bible's not finished. The Bible's here for us. And our daily living, our daily walking, our daily crying. And so here Joshua raises on the surfaces of the Bible, and their great leader had died. It was a great commotion. But in this great commotion, they had a commission. Even though this great upset took place, they had one of the greatest commissions that any people had ever had. For He told them in verse number 2, He said, even though my servant is dead, now therefore rise and go over this Jordan. You see, previously they could not go over with what they had. It may surprise me and you this morning what God has allowed, as we know normal, to come abnormal, that He may take us into new places that we have never been. And by the way, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I don't know where I'll be next week, and I don't know where I'll be an hour from now, but somebody guarantee you this morning, the God of this Bible will be with His people and every one of His children in this day and this hour. So it was a day of great commotion. It was a day of great commission. He said, now therefore, now it's time for you to do something you've never done. Can I tell you, it's time for the church to do something that we've never done. You say, preacher, what is that? Let's glory and magnify our great God and shine, 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 and shine. So here, the book of Joshua opened Moses has died. Could you imagine the figure Moses was to these people? And everything that they had ever knew Moses was a process of. But now God has taken Moses. Matter of fact, He took him so far away they couldn't even find him. He was such a figure. And what happened, Moses disobeyed God. God told him to strike. God told him to talk to the rock, and he struck the rock. And this is what he told Moses. He said, because you've disobeyed my voice, you'll be able to see it, but you won't be able to go into it. So God takes Moses away and he raises up Joshua. There was a great commotion. There was a great commission. Now, therefore, let us arise and go over this Jordan. But he said in verse 2, there was also a great commitment. He said, I want you to know, go over and all this people in the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. He said this in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Aren't you glad maybe Moses has died, but God lives forever? Can I say that again? Even though Moses has died, aren't you glad that our God lives forever? He says, so I will be with thee. Now underline this, I will not fail thee. Watch this, nor forsake thee. Have you ever felt like the Lord had forsaken you? Have you ever felt like people's forsaken you? No doubt many have. Many has experienced that. So the best friends of my life that I had in days gone by, we're no longer really even hardly acquainted today. I either forsook them or they forsook me. But let me tell you somebody that'll never forsake you. Do you hear your preacher this morning? God said He would never forsake you. Aren't you glad He's a friend that you can't depend? And so here, as Joshua opens, we see this great commotion, this great commission, but this great commitment. He says, I'm going to be with you. And then last week we preached on moving forward. He told them simply now, therefore, look at it if you would. Now, therefore, in verse number 2, arise, go over this Jordan. It's no time to lay down in our faith. It's no time to lay down in our praying. It's no time to lay down in our ministering. It's no time to lay down in our giving. It's no time to lay down at being a Christian. He said, you know, with all this going on in your lives, children of Israel, I know you may think that God's forsaken you and what's the use, but He says, now is time for you to shine. So then we go on into where I want to preach this morning, and it's found in verse 7 and 8. Now, as He has given instructions to the children, now, y'all think about this just a minute. Everything that they were accustomed to, everything they'd ever known, had just changed. So now God gives them something to help them to get over. What are those? There's, by out of outline, I want to give you three things that God give them, and I just want to preach about two this morning. I won't be long. But I want you to think about this. Now, in verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. So it sounds like to me that Joshua was maybe fearful. Maybe he was doubting things. Could you imagine being Joshua? Could you imagine being Joshua, Moses' minister, as he had seen him up on the mountain to receive the law, as he had seen him in the tabernacle and the glory of God fallen? He had seen the Red Sea part. But all of a sudden, could you imagine the responsibilities that fell upon Joshua? Can I tell you, Joshua also means Jesus. There was great responsibilities that fell upon Jesus. Moses, as a minister of the law, oh my goodness, when God removed Moses, He pulled up Joshua on the scene. And could you imagine being Joshua? So maybe he was frightful. Maybe he needed more courage. Now look what it says. He says, for in this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance in the land, which I swear their fathers to give them. Sounds like to me he was mounted with great responsibilities. Mom and daddies, we have great responsibilities in this day and this hour. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God knew what to tell them, and the instructions He gave them is what I want to preach from this morning. And I want to give you these three thoughts on the past is a promise. The past is a promise. As I said earlier, this Bible's not out of date. And I want you to notice this just by way of outline, three thoughts this morning. The past is a promise. First of all, they had a balance that profited them. A balance, and I want to talk about that a few minutes. A balance that profited them. They had a book that prospered them. And they had a blood, Brother Adam, that protected them. I'm glad I'm under the blood this morning. And so here, let's watch this. This balance that profited them. He gives them instructions or directions. Look what he says in verse number 7. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. This balance that profited them. Now, look at this balance of duty. Verse 7. Be very courageous. I don't want you to only be courageous. I want you to be very courageous. You know, I appreciate the forefathers that we've had that's laid the foundation down in our country. They were not only courageous, they were very courageous. They faced opposition in time of trouble, but they stood up by their faith and their freedom and their flag and their family. If there's ever been a day and an hour when the children of God need to be very courageous, and as the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Honey, you're not going to push me in the corner and tell me to deny Jesus. Amen. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm not going to deny my Bible. I'm not going to deny my family, nor my faith, nor my freedom. This morning, we see this balance that profited them. He spoke about duty. Verse 7, he spoke about details. Watch. That thou mayest observe. Mayest observe. Then, not only the duty and the detail, but look at this discipline. Verse 7, this is where we may have some trouble. To do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. You know, it's not how much truth that you know. It's how much truth that you hold on to. America's had more truth. The church has had more truth than any day and hour. It's not of how much truth that we know. It's how much truth that we hold. And so he simply says this, talking about their duty, very courageous, their detail, mass observed, but their discipline to do it. We need discipline in our lives. That's why I think that church is so essential. We need the discipline in our lives to gather our families together and come to the house of God. We need discipline around our supper tables that we may come together as a family unit. We need discipline to go to our altars and pray every morning of our lives. We need discipline to get in our Bible. We need discipline in our lives that we may do it. You know, talk is easy, isn't it? But when you do it. Talking about this balance that profited them, he said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to be very involved in balance. We see this prophet of duty, this prophet of detail, this prophet of discipline. But look in verse 7, there's a prophet of direction. He says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. In other words, you know what he's saying? Have balance. Don't go in the ditch. Don't go in the ditch on the left side of it. Don't go in the ditch on the right hand side of it. Keep balance. Families, listen to your preacher this morning. We need balance in our life. You know, so many people are running through this world out of balance. You ever had a car, a truck, and some of you ladies don't know a lot about it. I seen one of Macy's tires this week. I said, honey, your car is either out of line or out of balance. That don't mean much to a lady, but it means a lot to a guy. You know what it means? You're going to wear your tires out. It means it's going to hop up and down the road. Y'all remember when them Kreger mags was in style? I met Miss Renee, and man, I had about a 76 model Chevrolet truck. It was baby blue, had candy stripes on it, roll bars, and had them Kreger mags on it. But Brother Steve, one of them on the right front was warped. But it looked so good on that truck, I just kept running it warped. You know what it done? I replaced that tire about every 8 or 10,000 miles. But it looked good. And so, I mean, and the thing drove like a buckboard wagon. It would just jar your teeth out time you got to Carroll. But it looked good. And so that's where we are in a society, in a nation, and in a church. We've got out of balance, and we need balance back in our lives. And the Bible brings balance. So notice these directions that they were given, this balance that profited them. It's so easy to get out of balance as a family. It's so easy to get out of balance as a Christian. It's so easy to get out of balance as a wife or a mother or a husband or a father. It's easy, young men, to get out of balance as a young man or a young lady, ladies. He said, I want you to stay right in the middle. Don't turn to what I've said to the left or the right. We need balance. See, this is what keeps us balanced. So, I want to say a few quotes here about balance. And I'm preaching about the balance that profited them. And it'll profit you and I too. Now, problems arise. They arise in that when one has to find balance between what people need from you and what you need for yourself. A lot of times people get out of balance because they surround themselves with so many needy people. And they're always giving and giving and giving. But there has to be a time when you have to have some time for you. Hey, young men, look at your preacher this morning. You ever thought about what it might take to be a wife? Most of our young ladies, they work a full-time job. They come home, get supper cooked, get it cleaned up. Somewhere or another, get the laundry done. Get them young'uns in bed. And then you look at them and say, what's your problem? They're tired. Why are you snappy? You know, ladies, have you ever thought about this? Your husband go out and work all day. And then all of a sudden you might ask him, what's your trouble? You see, it's so easy to get out of balance. Watch this. And I want to say this, and I found this in my life to be true. You will never feel truly satisfied by work until you're satisfied by life. A lot of people are so out of balance at their job. You will never feel truly satisfied by work until you're satisfied by your life. And let me tell you, only Jesus can bring you that satisfaction in your life this morning. Thirdly, I thought this is a great quote. I wish you would remember it. If you want your children to turn out well, spend twice as much time and half as much money on them. Can I say that again? Because I think it's worth repeating. If you want your children to turn out well, spend twice as much time and half as much money on them. I commend you parents for spending time with your children. I think it's very important that we have family time. I started on the first Sunday nights that the family would have family time. And I asked you now, since we've went through this series of storm, now we've had more family time. Don't you feel better with your family? I mean, you were running from post to pillar to bush to tomato vine. But now you took some time out and look how much you bonded with your family. I'm going to tell you, work can get out of balance. Things can get out of balance. And he says that we must apply the teachings of this book to keep us in balance. Then fourthly, I think this is a true statement. We've overstretched our personal boundaries and forgotten that true happiness comes from living an authentic life fueled with a sense of purpose and balance. That was long. Let me read it again. We've overstretched our boundaries and forgotten that true happiness comes from living an authentic life fueled with a sense of purpose and balance. What is your purpose in life? What brings you stability? No wonder that we live in a society that is so out of balance. Here, God wanted His children to have much balance. Watch this. This is one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. Balance is not something that you find. It's something that you create. I love to play golf. I love to hunt. I love to fish, but I got to have some balance. This is what I struggle with that I really need help on a lot of times. Is I'm not just a preacher here on Sunday. I live this. Best of my ability, I live it. And it's hard for me to unhook from the ministry just to my wife. But we've got to have family time. You've got to have family time. So we must find that balance around the Word of God. Well, preacher, how do I stay balanced? In the Word of God. I didn't notice this. And I want to say this, but I really didn't notice how impactful news was to me. I really didn't understand that. I mean, I can study, have my sermon ready to go, and I can just turn on 10 minutes and I'm so discouraged, I don't know what my name is. So this is what I've had to do. Yes, I need news, I need data, but I don't need to live there all day. And so if I'm going to find balance somewhere or another, I've got to find time to get in this book. Those saying years ago, you know where your remote control is. Do you know where your Bible is? You know where your cell phone is. Where's your Bible? I'm not chewing you out this morning. I'm just preaching the Word of God and saying, God knows what He's saying. Keep us right in the middle of the road. You know, preaching needs balance. When you are geared like me and have the profile I've got, if you're not careful, you know, somewhere or another, you got to find the love of God, the compassion of people and grace and understanding, instead of dropping an axe and cutting everybody's head off. You got to find balance in singing. You got to find balance in living. Find balance in your life. And the only way we're going to find balance is in the Word of God. Well, that didn't go too good. See if you like this next point. Past is a promise. A balance that profited them. But look in verse 8. The book that prospered them. You know, there's been a lot of books written in this world, but there's no book like this book. It's no book like this book. Now, this book that prospered them. Now, look, first of all, you'll see communication. He didn't say just any book, but in verse 8, this book, underline that. This book is precious. This book is priceless. This book. Well, what about this book, preacher? I want to say, first of all, it's a living book. It just keeps talking. Isn't that amazing how you can read a passage, then you read it again and it says something else to you that it never said? It's the living Word this morning. It's alive. That's why we must preach the Word of God. It brings life. Where would we be without the Word of God? It simply brings life. Not only does it live, but it loves. I'm glad I read in here that God loves me. And by the way, God loves you. He don't love us corporately. He loves us individually. Young people, you do have a purpose and a point in life. God loves you and He put you here for a purpose. What is my purpose? No doubt when I was riding a tricycle, God seen me at Liberty Baptist Church many years later. God's had a purpose for you. And so here we find out this communication, this book, it lives, it loves, it leads. Brother Mike, how many times have we not known what way to take, but we'll pick up the Word of God and it leads us where we need to go? You see, the Word of God, this book, it lives. It loves, it leads, and it lifts. I can remember when I first got saved. A few years later, the Lord called me to preach, and I can remember laying on my couch after I'd run that Pepsi route. I'd come in, I'd open my Bible, and I was amazed at how the Word of God lifted me. It is a lifting book. Get in it. It'll lift your spirit. It'll lift your hope. Get in the Bible, the book, the Word of God. Boy, how the devil would love to have this book out of your life. This is a book like no other books. So this morning, preaching on not only the balance that profited them, but the book that prospered them. Look at the communication, this book. Secondly, look at the dedication of this book. Not only the communication of it, but the dedication of it. He simply said this, "This book of the law shall not depart." The dedication. I want to ask you in closing, are you dedicated to this book? Get in it. Let it talk to you. Let it speak to you. Let it put the purpose and the hope back in your life. Look at the meditation. He says, "But thou shalt meditate." I looked that word up. You know what it means? It means to ponder. To ponder, to give it deep thought, to meditate in it. Then watch this observation of it. He says, observe. I looked this up. You know what it means? It means to guard, to mark, or to look narrowly. To look narrowly. Preacher, what are you saying? Yeah, to observe. Look narrowly on it. Other words, don't let it get away from you. I'm glad I am narrow-minded on the blood. I'm glad I am narrow-minded on the book. I'm glad I am narrow-minded about the regeneration of the Spirit of God. This morning, He instructs them as they're traveling on their journey, not only communication, dedication, meditation, observation, but look at clarification. He said simply again, and to do all according to all that is written. It means I'm to love. I'm to not like some things. I'm to correct. I'm to encourage. Clarification. To do all according that is written. And then lastly, look at this celebration. Do you want to have good success in life? Do you want to be prosperous? I'm not preaching on a health and a wealth gospel. I'm just taking the Word of God of what it says. He gave them this instruction. Look what it says. If you observe to do according to all that's written, for then, look at there, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous. Are you tired of always having what you've always got? Are you tired of just always being and doing and having what you've always got? Then put the Word of God in your life. Apply your life to it. And then thou shalt have good success. There's celebration. Then thou shalt have good success. You know, a lot of people, they're trying to find their way prosperous and have good success. And this is what they do with their Bible. They don't even have a Bible. And God says this Bible is so important in doing what's written therein and applying our life to it. He said, I tell you what, it'll do things for your life that nothing else can ever do. Dr. Field don't have the answer. Oprah don't have the answer. This book has our answer. It tells me how to do, how to react. It tells me what to be. This book challenges me. And it ought to challenge you. Because it's forever settled in heaven. Well, aren't you glad the Word of God don't change this morning? I'm glad that it is so reliable. Well, let Miss Sherry come and play today. And I want to ask you something. This balance that profited them, Lord, help me to have the right kind of balance. Balance at my home. Balance in my life. God help me to have balance. For you see, this balance, it profited them and it will profit you if you'll have balance in your life. Not only the balance that profited them, but the book that prospered them. This book is wonderful. Brother Mike, I can reflect back to times here at Liberty where we've had special preachers in. Man, that opened up a text of the Word of God, and oh, how that speak to my heart. Sitting over there in a study at home, I'm open to the Word of God and how it speaks to my heart. May God help us to be a people that's devoted to the Word of God and the ways of God. And this Bible says if we will adhere to this book, then He'll make our way success. Do you need something this morning in your life? Miss Sherry, please.